You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, summer has officially started. We have film critic David Edelstein with us for a preview of what's coming out for summer movie season. First, it's Memorial Day, where we pause to remember the men and women who died while serving in the country's armed forces. While the casualties of war can sometimes feel impersonal or distant, an ongoing project is looking to change that. The Face for Every Name Project is a national effort to match every name on the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. to a corresponding photo. Residents of each state are working hard to find pictures for all their state service members. Only a few states have found them all. Our next guest is making a push to add Wisconsin to that list. Jessica McBride is with us now. She's a senior lecturer of journalism at UW-Milwaukee. Along with her students, she's been working to find the remaining photos, as well as the stories, of some of the men who served. Jessica, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, Jessica, give us a little bit of an update. How is the project going right now?
Well, as of about a week ago, we were down to three final names. When the students got involved in this project in February, there were 64 Wisconsin service members who died in Vietnam for whom they were missing photos for the national project. So I told my students, you know, these are supposedly the unfindable 64, but I'm of the personal belief that everybody is findable, and obviously all of these young men deserve to be remembered, deserve to be humanized, so we set out to find their photos and in some cases their stories as well. So again, we were down to three about a week ago, and then we were down to one. And as we stand here today, officially, the final name that we are seeking a photo for is a man from Milwaukee by the name of Willie Bedford.
So from 64 that were deemed unfindable down to one, how do you feel about that progress?
I feel really proud of the students and also the other volunteers who contributed, you know, to this project over really what's been a couple of years. I mean, I did want to underscore that point. There have been so many people from all walks of life and all generations all over the state of Wisconsin who have found photos for this project. There was a Medford teacher who found 600 of the pictures with his K-12 students several years ago when this started. And there's also a local Vietnam-era veteran from Baraboo who drives down to the Milwaukee Public Library several times a week in some cases, and he sits there poring through obituaries, old newspaper articles, and he's found a very large number of photos also. His name is Terry Kramer. And then there's my team of journalism students from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I felt they really poured their heart into these projects. You can find their stories on our student news site. It's called Media Milwaukee, www.mediamilwaukee.com. The stories are rich, they're human, they're very interesting. They found a lot of photos, but they also tried to do what really the media didn't do back in the late 1960s and early 1970s, which was properly humanize these men and tell us, you know, who they were as human beings. I was sort of surprised by that as a journalist myself and a journalism instructor to see how little was written about these men in most cases when they died. The media at that time would tend to write news briefs, and they would just say so-and-so died in Vietnam, and he's the next of kin of so-and-so. There was very little done to actually tell, you know, the community who these men really were. So the students tried to write really that rough draft of history that wasn't done at the time.
Why do you think that was the case, that there were just these briefs, and that now you're going back and getting the chance to deepen it, but why wasn't there more there initially?
You know, I talked to my father about that. He's a reporter, and it was interesting, but he turned up in a class photo with one of the men I was seeking the photo of, and I looked at the class photo, and my father was in the same class at Marquette University High School, so I asked him that question, and he said, well, at times there would be 500 people across the country dying a day. He said that I couldn't really perhaps appreciate the number of casualties that were happening, so I think perhaps that was part of it, just that there were so many. And I also believe it may have been the unpopularity of the war at the time. It was certainly a different media also. You know, it was limited largely to the paper trail of newspapers. I guess those are my theories, but I find it very disappointing. At the same time, if the newspapers hadn't taken the trouble to document the names of these men, at least, and their next of kin, it would have been a lot harder to track down those family members today and to get these photos.
We're talking about the Face for Every Name project with UW-Milwaukee's Jessica McBride. And Jessica, tell me a little bit about how many Wisconsinites served in Vietnam. You got involved when you were down to 64, but how big was this effort initially?
It's a pretty long list. There's 1,161 Wisconsin service members who are on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. There are some veterans organizations that believe that's an undercount, and there's a movement also by Wisconsin Public Radio to document Wisconsin service members who died in Vietnam but who enlisted from in other states, so they're not in the official Wisconsin count. But the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, which runs the wall in D.C. and which is doing the FACES project, they use the official Department of Defense count. So we have 1,161. And again, Willie Bedford, the final name on that list. So it's very unusual for a state to have found all of its photos. There are only a few states that have: North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, New Mexico, and Iowa. I believe Minnesota has four left to find, so we would be, you know, in a very small list. And we had far more service members who died in Vietnam than those other states also. So it's been a monumental effort by people all over the state from all walks of life and all different forms of media also. Various reporters all over the state have found photos. I found seven myself for the Waukesha Freeman newspaper of young men who were from Waukesha County. The father of one of them, he's a 95-year-old man who lives in Delafield, Wisconsin, still has his son's Corvette in his garage. He took me down there. He lifted this quilt off of the Corvette. And he was one of the only living parents that we found on the list of 64.
So obviously this means a lot to people. It's still personal in many cases. And it seems as though there have been so many incredible stories along the way in finding these photos. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what led to the photo of James Calvin Ward, maybe the shorthand version.
Oh, yes. James Calvin Ward was one of our most moving stories. He was a 17-year-old African-American service member who enlisted from Milwaukee. His parents had to sign him in because he was so young. As a result of his death and another 17-year-old, the Defense Department banned service in combat by juveniles in Vietnam, so there were a few stories about that. We eventually traced his family through the obituary of his father, who was a military man and the son of a sharecropper from Arkansas by the name of J.C. Ward. He had died a few years ago in El Paso. That allowed us to track down other members of J.C. Ward, the father's family. However, you know, person after person after person told us they had no photo of James Calvin Ward. We reached a sibling of his father in Vegas. She had no photo. Sent us to another aunt in Michigan. She had no photo, but then said maybe she did, but she was too infirm to come to the door, and, you know, she's very elderly. Sent us to another cousin who had no photo, who then revealed that James Calvin Ward had a son he had never met, who lived in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Called that son, tracked down his phone number because nobody had it, and he revealed that he also had no photo of his father. In fact, he had never possessed a photo of his father, but he did remember one that had hung for years in his grandfather's living room, and he described it very vividly. And so for a moment, I felt like I had found James Calvin Ward's photo, but really only through the memory of his son, who had seen it but never met him. So then we talked to the mother of the son. She had no photo, but she suggested, call back the cousins in Michigan. They're the only people that could have one if anyone has a photo of James at all. We tried the schools, by the way. That didn't pan out either. So call back the cousin in Michigan, and in the interim, the elderly infirm aunt who couldn't come to the door had called her and said, I found a photo. And so the cousin drove over there, took a picture of it with her cell phone, and texted me a wonderful, moving photo of James Ward in his military uniform, which we now will be providing to his son so that his son has a photo for the first time. And there were other cases like that where we realized the family members did not have photos of their loved one. And so then the effort became as much to find a photo for them as it is for the people in Washington who eventually want to run all of these in a major education center they're fundraising to build across the street.
Jessica, amazing stories. Thank you so much for sharing and for telling us about all the effort that's gone into them.
Well, thank you for, you know, broadcasting the effort. I do hope people go and to Media Milwaukee and read some of the stories because they're so rich, they're so moving. And on this Memorial Day, I really think it's important that we pause and we don't just remember names or generically the people who serve, but that we take the time to really understand who they were as human beings and properly remember them that way.
Jessica, thank you. That was Jessica McBride, Senior Lecturer of Journalism at UW-Milwaukee. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.